And welcome in to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yes, we did. Had a good relaxing weekend. Got my brother-in-law moved and had a little Veritas swim party. Since the temperature's about to plummet, we'll get that in.
Yeah, it's going to be probably high of 66 for tomorrow. Yeah. Can you imagine the high? Unbelievable.
Jumping from 108 to 60. All right.
Liking it.
We've got a great show today. Nicole Powell, Wellness Navigator, in the studio. And Sue Becker from Bread Becker's is joining us today in studio. Ladies, welcome to the show. A couple quick announcements before we jump into the show. We've got, well, number one, I think I said it the last few weeks, the new COVID variant, if there even is one, guys, don't worry about it. Whatever's coming this fall, don't worry about. Your worry, well, I don't even like that word. We're supposed to cast our worries upon the Lord, but your diligence should be in building resilience in your body and your immune system and trusting that the design God put into you will function and work and protect you. So put your focus on building resiliency. It's what we're going to talk about today. And don't worry about anything coming off that television station that they're trying to draw you back into fear. Your body's well-equipped to handle COVID, influenza, and other bugs, too, that I'm not going to mention today. All right. So, Dr. Mercola, as y'all know, he's a big keto guy. High-fat, low-carb, lots of good benefits from eating high-fat, low-carb, clears your brain fog, drops your insulin, does all kinds of great stuff. And as we've talked about on the show before, doing that long-term too often, too much, not the right way, can actually drive your cortisol up. Cortisol is your fight-or-flight stress hormone. Cortisol is very harmful to you long-term. Spikes in it long-term is not good. So we want to avoid that. It will actually turn your metabolism down and lead to more insulin resistance and other hormone problems. Elevated cortisol will damage your neurons and long-term put you at more risk for dementia and memory loss. It will shred your immune system and make you more prone to viruses and other bugs. And it will shred your muscles. You need good muscle mass to resist insulin resistance. It will shred lots of things in the body. Your fertility hormones, your testosterone, progesterone. So elevated cortisol long-term is not good, and too much fasting and too much high-fat not done the right way can be bad. And that's what Dr. Mercola's article. So Mercola wrote the book, Fat for Fuel. He was big-time proponent. Now he's totally flipped. And his article Saturday or Friday, I forget which day, was, is low-fat actually good for you? And then he went through all kinds of studies from the 1930s, 1940s, and 1950s. Showing reversal of diabetes and kidney disease and hypertension with an exceedingly low-fat diet. And he played an interview with Denise Minger, who gave a presentation, I think it was back in 2016, where she proposed a theory that you could be super low-fat, like less than 10% fat, and down to even 3% and 5% fat in your diet. And she was calling it carbogenic. There's some great health benefits if you're carbogenic. And at the other extreme, ketogenic, we know there's some health benefits there. In the short term, very specific targeted populations over a certain time period, 3 months, a year, 2 years, to try to treat certain diseases. Okay, so that's all fine and dandy. I had a guy email or text me this weekend to tell me, because he's a big monitor your blood sugar guy. He has a continuous glucose monitor on his upper arm. You might see these in some folks walking around town, little patch on their upper outer arm, monitoring their blood sugar insulin responses to food and to everything. And he's been pretty hardcore on the diet. And he's been very consistent. He knows what his sugar and insulin tend to run based off his high-fat, low-carb diet. And just by implementing what we talked about on the show a few weeks ago with Carrie, getting out and getting some sunlight and what that does to the circadian rhythm, growth hormone, melatonin, all these different neurotransmitters, and it dropped his morning blood sugar, even though everything else in his routine was the same. It dropped his morning blood sugar significantly just by getting some sunshine. We've talked in the past about building muscle mass. Dr. Gabrielle Lyons, muscle-centric medicine out in California, and how she approaches all these metabolic dysfunction patients with just getting them to gain 5 pounds of muscle, how beneficial that can be. Of course, I talk about cortisol and stress, lack of peace. When you don't have that peace pillar, my last 4 newsletters, which, guys, if y'all don't get our newsletter, we're about to open that up to the general public and put a button on our website where you can get it. Previously, it had just been to our members. But you can get my articles on our blog, which is on our website under the resource tab. Go read the last 4 articles. It's a series, part 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the peace pillar and the cortisol effect and what that does to your metabolism. So my point is, if you want to lean on just one pillar, nutrition only, and ignore the others, you're going to reach a ceiling. There's going to be only so much benefit. And long term, you're not going to find health. Although food's very important, we're going to talk about that today. But doing it through the goggles of man's wisdom, intellectual, scientific, you know, what's a doctor say? I mean, Dr. Mercola, he's the top guy in holistic medicine. He's been doing this for 30 years. He's the number one newsletter, you know, online health website in the world. This guy's a brainiac, and he's been following all the brainiacs in nutrition, holistic medicine. And he just flipped. He just flipped from high fat to low fat. But he is recognizing the short-term benefits in both. And so I think the take-home message is trust the Word of God. Go to the book. And I'm not saying you have to just totally ignore intellectualism and scientific studies, and there's something to be gained there. But come, let us reason together. Reason together with the Holy Spirit. Get in the Word, and where does it take you? And if we would have done that from the beginning, we might could have avoided a lot of these. Well, let's go down this road. Oops, we went too far down that road. Let's reverse and go the other way. And that's probably the number one reason I love Sue Becker so much, because she reminded us of that 2 years ago. If y'all didn't hear those interviews, April of 21 was the first interview, and then I think it was it May, Nicole? May or June was the second. So those are 2 of our most popular interviews. Go listen to those, and we'll talk about some of those things today, too. And Sue's going to be at the Merck tonight. I think we're probably sold out, but just a reminder for those that did sign up for that, we're going to get to hear Sue present. She was presenting all day long in Dalhart.
Saturday.
So she's blessing us tonight with a couple hours. So y'all get up there to the Merck tonight and come listen to Sue and learn from her. But like I said, the number one thing I love about Sue the most is she reminded us to go back to the Word and look at what does the Word say about food, and in particular about bread. And Sue, I can't tell you the number of people that have come up to me, and basically, and I felt bad about this in a way, and then good in a way, but would come up to me after that, those first podcasts, and basically say, Dr. Ben, thank you so much for bringing Sue on. It's like you've given everyone in West Texas permission to eat wheat again.
Yes.
And it was a huge chapter, next chapter. It's just this continual revelation. We're seeking the truth, seeking health. And we had told everyone, quit eating grains. Quit eating wheat, and like we talked about on that first show, there's man's wheat, man's version of it. That's not beneficial. And there's God's version of it, exceedingly beneficial. I just made a loaf, or my bread machine made a loaf overnight while I was asleep. We'll talk about that later. But I've been rambling, so I want to bring on Nicole and Sue. Nicole, you want to do your little announcement
now? We'll just do it at the end.
Okay. Nicole's got a little something special for y'all at the end. But Sue, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're so excited that you're live in studio and live in Lubbock.
I know. This is exciting.
Well,
so exciting.
We're blessed to have you.
I was almost late listening to your podcast this morning. All of a sudden I went, oh, I got to go. I'll have to listen to the rest this afternoon.
Well, thank you.
It was great.
Well, we're so honored and blessed to have you. And like I said, so happy that I don't even know how we first met. I guess probably it's Nicole. You introduced us to Sue's website, maybe.
I think it was actually a patient.
Or a patient, yeah. Our patients teach us so much.
Yeah.
Everyone, the body of Christ together, seeking the truth. But kind of maybe just, for new listeners that don't know you, a little bit of intro, or tell us what you've been doing lately, or we can just go any direction you want to go.
I'll give a brief, like how I got here is amazing. It's the Lord for sure. And so graduated high school long, long, long time ago. Just had my, 51 years now of high school, graduated from high school. Headed to the University of Georgia as a pre-med student. Wow. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to save the world, right?
Yep.
And I loved physiology, loved biochemistry, hated history. And I just, now I love it. But anyway, headed to the University of Georgia, realized when I got there that I didn't want to be in school that long, and I didn't want that grueling a career. At that time, that was my mindset. I knew I wanted to be a wife and a mother, and I'm not saying you can't be, a wife and a mother and be a doctor or whatever, but it just didn't feel right. So changed my major, got accepted into pharmacy school. Spent one quarter there and went, that's not what I want to do either. And as a junior in college, you're getting short of time. Yeah. So, but went to the dean of pharmacy, told him, laid it all out, and he suggested food science. And he said, all your credits will transfer, and, it's an up-and-coming industry. So transferred to food science and focused most of my attention on microbiology. So graduated from the University of Georgia, was a microbiologist for Kraft Foods for almost 5 years. Isn't that funny? So, but after college, I just continued to study. In fact, I laugh and tell people I was probably a better student. I am probably a better student since I graduated from school than I ever was in school. Mm. I love to study. I love reading. I love, even right the day before I left, I had a physiology book in my hand going, how does this work? Just figuring the puzzle pieces out. I'm amazed at God's creation and the way our bodies are created. Mm-hmm. So continue to study. I met my husband at the University of Georgia, and we married our senior year, and I have accomplished the wife and mother. We just celebrated 48 years of marriage.
Wow, congratulations.
And I have 9 children, and my 16th grandchild I'm hoping is not born while I'm here. My 17th grandchild is on the way. We just learned that. So I did accomplish that.
Amazing.
But once I was pregnant with my first child, I quit work and came home and became a stay-at-home mom. But like I said, I studied. I wanted to feed my family healthy food. I grew up Southern, so I cooked. We never went out to eat. My mom was a great cook, and that was life for me. I was just like, you cook meals. You don't buy it from a box. You don't open a can. You make it. Mm-hmm. And so we were very healthy eaters for the most part. I believed in real food, real meat, real vegetables, so real fruit. Yeah. And that's what I kept around. We had our little junky things, but nothing major. And the bread, though, so I knew whole wheat flour was better. You read that in the books, but I never made the huge connection about bread, not until 1991. In 1991, I came across a medical journal entitled How to Greatly Reduce the Risk of Common Diseases. Fascinated me, and so I read it. The history of white flour was presented in that journal. Opened my eyes. I'm like, I must have missed the bread class in food science. I must have missed what they were doing, because when I would go and buy flour or bread or whatever and I saw enriched, I thought, we're doing you a favor. Yeah. We're helping this. Yeah, we're because the word enriched means to make something better than it would have been had we not messed with it. And when I saw that what happened in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that they began to universally sift the bran and germ from the flour and produce massive volumes of white flour, diseases became epidemic at the time, shortly after. Diseases they had never seen, beriberi, so vitamin B1 deficiency, pellagra, vitamin B3 deficiency, and anemia. And they traced it to the missing nutrients that were now taken out of the bread when they took the bran and germ out. Mm. So it made perfect scientific sense to me. And then the rest of the journal had a brief discussion of the common diseases that plague most Americans and attributed it to the missing nutrients or the missing fiber. The bran and germ has all the fiber in it. And so I was like, this is real. It made scientific sense. It made biblical sense because Jesus compared himself to bread. And I'm like, the bread is what's making everybody sick. Mm-hmm. And we can touch on that again in a moment because it's not gluten. It's it's the commercially processed white flour bread. Mm-hmm. And even what's labeled whole grain bread in the store is not what you think it is. They add stuff to it. I tell a story of how I have a loaf of 100% whole grain bread, a very popular brand. It's double wrapped. I've had it on my shelf for 4 years. It's never melted. It's never molded. I mean, it's... And the last one I had, I use it as a visual aid. The last one I had never rotted. It disintegrated. It just turned to dust. Now, what is that?
How many years did that take?
Several. Wow. I haven't checked on my one loaf that's about 4 years old now. I probably need to look at it. It's probably dust in my sample box of any anyway. So the lights went off. I thought enrichment, like I said, was of, you know, they were making it better, mm-hmm. not realizing that the for the 35 to 45 whoever knows how many nutrients and phytonutrients, things they haven't even isolated, are lost when they take the bran and germ and the oils and the life of that seed away and leave us with protein and starch. That's all that's there, and for the most part, for all practical purposes. And it made sense. And it introduced me also to the whole concept of milling my own flour and making my own bread. I never knew there was such a thing, or I did know, but it kind of passed me by. Mm-hmm. So bought a grain mill in February. My husband gave me one for my birthday in February of 1991. And white flour, white bread has not come into our house since. I'm pretty passionate. I'm a pretty all or nothing kind of person. Mm-hmm. So it was funny because, you know, with my studies and eating real food, I knew whole wheat flour was better. So I was buying whole wheat flour from the store, but I don't know if you've ever tried it. It's disgusting because they strip the oil out of it or the flour would spoil. So it's this very grainy, gritty. You try to make pancakes with it. You're not going to get fluffy pancakes, you know. So I was having to add white flour to that or mix it half and half. And it still wasn't very good. And I didn't see any health benefits from it, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I got the mill and I decided that was what I wanted to do, I was like, I thought it was going to taste like that flour in the store. I didn't realize, you know, that they were even doing stuff to that. So my thought was, I don't care if we have to choke this down. We're eating it. This is real, you know. The most nutrient-dense food God has given us is grains and beans and seeds, and we're doing this. I was shocked when that mill came into our home. I made bread, and it was this fluffy, wonderful, delicious loaf of bread. I made pancakes the next morning. I had 5 young children by that point, and they loved it. And this was healthy food my whole family would eat. Mm-hmm. You know, as adults, I think we'll do all kinds of things. You know, I had done green drinks. Did you ever do brewer's yeast? Oh, that was this terrible thing in the 70s that they told us as brewer's yeast would do all this wonderful stuff. And if you'd make this shake the night before, it would taste better. And I don't know what it tasted like the night before, but it tasted terrible the day I was drinking it. But I choked it down because, you know, it did give me energy, I will say, but it didn't touch my constipation, didn't touch my sinus congestion, didn't touch my sugar cravings, didn't touch, you know, things that were going on in my body. Mm-hmm. And so the taste of it didn't justify to continue doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did it for, you know, maybe a year. I don't know how long I did it, but my kids would have never touched anything like that. And then I did the green drinks and they're like, no, 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 you should never put anything in your mouth that looks like goose poop. That was their words. And so the bread, it was like they loved it. You know, the muffins, the pancakes, it was the cookies, the cakes, it was endless. Mm-hmm. And so this was healthy food my whole family loved, my whole family would eat. I didn't have to coerce them to eat it. And we just added this real bread to the other real food that we were already eating. Yeah. And the health of our family changed drastically, noticeably, significantly from day one. For me, constipation was gone. I tell people, the meal came in, I made bread that night, I ate bread that night, and I pooped the next morning. That was a new thing for me. I didn't call constipation when I was younger, but I remember growing up, I always had issues with that. And then as an adult, you start recognizing it for what it is. And I had tried all sorts of things, you know, outside of chemical laxatives. That was never my jumping off place. I was not going to go there. But I did the apple in the morning and a quart of water or whatever it was. Drink, you know, a glass of water first thing. And it helped. But if you didn't have apples, you know, it didn't help the next day and the next day. So there were things I had tried and, you know, they would help somewhat if I do it. But now it was eat the bread, and we were eating the bread every day. And so I tell people, I can stand here today and tell you I've not been constipated since 1991. Supposedly America, I don't know how they found this out. I would have loved to have done the survey, but supposedly we're the most constipated nation in the world. So
I don't doubt
and,
it.
And, you know, and so that helped. I mean, that was the first day. Boom, done. I noticed my energy levels were significant better. When you have five young children and you're homeschooling and you know, church and baseball and all those things, laundry, I tell people, you know,
constant laundry.
Constant laundry. I was like, the Lord didn't tell me about the laundry when he told me that children were a blessing. But anyway, you know, so I had energy and homeschooling the younger ones, trying to do reading with them. I would just start dozing off before bread, after bread. It's like, okay, we can do this, you know. So that was very noticeable. And I noticed my sugar cravings went away. We weren't junky sugar eaters. I didn't keep stuff around the house that was, you know, we didn't have soft drinks. We didn't have that kind of thing. But I had my little things that I like, and all that went away because I was getting the real carbohydrates, number one, that my body needed for energy and needed to, you know, the reason we crave sugary things is because our energy shooting up, dropping down, or our blood sugar, you know, it goes hand in hand.
Yep.
But this was all being satisfied because what people don't realize is complex carbs are metabolized more slowly. They get through your digestion system, digestive system more slowly. They release this steady flow of sugars that our body needs and God designed to be used for energy.
Yep.
Just this steady release. And so we don't have those slumps and spikes. Now, in a bit, I was a little tired this morning, you know, from the travels and speaking, but that's normal. And we just get rest. So I noticed that big one for me. My sinus congestion went away. By the end of the first month, I had no more sinus congestion. I lived on antihistamines before bread. I struggled with it all my life. I thought postnasal drip was just the way God made us, that it was a fact of life. And I talked to so many people that think, I just thought this was life, you know, that this is of different things, you know, too. But I had to take an antihistamine typically every night to be able to sleep because my whole sinus congestion was just close up. I couldn't breathe. And then you try to breathe through your mouth and it's just miserable. First month, I went, huh, I have no more sinus congestion. And that's the other thing. I can stand here and tell you or sit here and tell you today, I have not had an antihistamine or a decongestant of any kind since 1991.
Wow.
And America is living off of them. And not just adults.
Yeah.
I see and hear kids that are on Zyrtec or this, that, the other. My children, my kids haven't had an ear infection since the bread. It wasn't a constant thing like I hear parents today, but we had our share of them for sure with that many kids. And then I love to tell this one. Some people laugh, but it is our number one testimony now. One of my children's warts went away in the first month, and I knew it was the bread. And I can tell that story in a bit if you want me to, because it's powerful about fighting a virus.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned
it's probably our number one.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my own kids. I know one of Nicole's kiddos. And we've heard lots of patients say the same thing on warts.
Yeah. It's and people laugh. I mean, someone said to me, I'll get back to that in just a minute. So that was the first month I began to notice my kids just didn't have snotty noses constantly. And, you know, and even my little toddlers, we think of I always called 18 months to about 4 years the snotty nose years. They just slime you and they're just snotty and, you know, all the time. No, never. My sixth child that was born after bread, 1992, she if she got the least little bit stuffy nose or anything, she would recognize it. And she would say, as a toddler, I have a snuffy nose. And then eat pancakes, go poop, she's done. You know, mm-hmm. it's gone. Because sometimes you get, I mean, our kids play baseball, so you get caught at the baseball field, yep. game's delayed, next thing you know, the kids are hungry, mm-hmm. and so you end up eating there. And she would. She would wake up the next morning and go, I have a snuffy nose, mm-hmm. you know. But then by the time we had filled her with some bread and drank yep. some water and, you know, and that kind of thing. So, and then my seventh child was born after bread as well. So those two children never have had an antihistamine or decongestant a single day in their life. And they're now, 92 and 96. So you tell me how old, 27 wow. and 31. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they're just, they were noticeably different babies. Very strong muscles. And if you study vitamin E, grains are the most nutrient dense source of our vitamin E. Mm-hmm. And if you study vitamin E, I know I read the works of Adele Davis. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She was mm-hmm. very popular in the 70s and 80s. She talks about how vitamin E is so important for strengthening every cell in your body and your muscle cells. And those two babies were both born. They did not have the wobbly necks. In fact, my sixth child, day four, I was watching her. My husband was reclined, and he had her laying on his chest, and she crawled up his chest, day four. My seventh child, she had swallowed some meconium, so they had to, suction out, mm-hmm. and she was screaming, so they wrapped her up after they finished and brought her and laid her over on me, and she was kind of face down, and the midwife was talking to me, and I answered her, and she was screaming. As soon as she heard my voice, she stopped screaming, but the most important thing, she lifted her head and looked at me and made eye contact with me, a few hours old.
Wow.
That's pretty... Yeah. And I've shared that, and other women now have gone, oh, I never made that connection. My child after bread was mm-hmm. the same way. Very strong, muscular, completely built, completely different, the two kids, but noticeably different muscle strength from day one. And I remembered reading that in Adele Davis's book, is that American babies are born with wobbly heads and yeah. they shouldn't be. And that's one of the things is a lack of vitamin E. You don't want to oversimplify, but
right.
it was noticeable.
Yeah.
So anyway, I could go on.
That's amazing.
Jump in, stop me whenever.
No, that's great. And I think this might be a good break time. I do want to mention, you had mentioned the phytonutrients, 40 or 50 different vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients. I mean, what Sue just, this whole story she just said, it's like, there's no way. I mean, if you're a regular American, you're thinking, it's like, this is a miracle drug. I mean, it cures sinuses, constipation, everything else. It's because the medicine, quote unquote, medicine's in the food.
Yeah.
These phytonutrients. I'm looking at a study here. This is George Washington University School of Medicine. This was an integrative conference I went to a few years ago. And the study was on cranberries, which I learned there are 100 different varieties or species of cranberries. And this study looked at three out of 100, and it found 8,000 to 10,000 phytochemicals in each species of the three
goodness.
Different species, and only 4,624 of these compounds were found conserved, meaning were identical. So 10,000 per species, they looked at three species, so say 30,000 phytochemicals were found, and only 4,600 of them were the same ones. So in one species, there's that many unique chemicals, and that's a cranberry. We're talking wheat here, but my point is God put it in the food. He put it in the seeds, the nuts, the berries, the beans, all
yeah.
the things. It's in there. We've just got to get back to his original intent as far as, how to grow them. I mean, we've done shows on agriculture and regenerative ag and get the soils back and get the microbes back in the soils and do it the right way. But, of course, consuming the real food
yeah.
straight off the vine or the
seed,
grass, the seed,
the whole seed,
and preparing it the right way. I mean, we could talk about how we've adulterated cow's milk and how that messes us up. I mean, almost every food group, of course, the seed oils that are processed industrially. Anyways, if you're not convinced that it's man's wisdom, in quotes there, that has gotten us off track, and the love of money. We didn't get to go into that, but when they started sifting out that bran and germ and the money that was involved in that, maybe when we get back from the break, we'll touch on that. But God's just trying to convince you, your body's designed perfectly. God created the whole earth perfectly, all the plants in it, our food's perfect. If we will steward it the right way and trust Him and not start adulterating things for the love of money, then health mm-hmm. can be found. Your body's designed to just function, be healthy. So go spend a little money on a bread machine, a grinder. We'll talk about practical things too when we get back from the break. Get a good recipe book, get the right ingredients. It's a little daunting at first, but that's why we're here, and Sue's here, and Nicole's here, and there's people that have gone before you and can make it easier. I mean, when we first got started, I got everything from Sue, and I mean, it was a little bit of a learning curve on programming the bread machine, but really that was it, because she has this great little recipe book. I used it last night. It was about 10 p.m. getting ready for bed. I'm the breakfast guy, so I was thinking about what am I going to do for breakfast, and I literally pulled Sue's little cookbook or recipe book out of the cupboard, flipped it open. I should have it memorized, and pretty much I do. But it was literally, and I looked at the clock so I could tell everybody on the radio this morning, I started that at 10:03, and when I hit the button on the bread machine, closed the lid, and walked out of the kitchen, it was 10:11, I think. And I had to walk to the other end of the house to grab the yeast, so that's probably a minute. Anyways, the point is it's super quick, super easy, super simple. Sue's made it exceedingly simple. You can do this. Little bit of investment initially, but long term, it's going to save you, not only on antihistamines and anti-constipation, but doctor visits and quality of life. I mean, you can't even put a price tag on it. So, Sue, where's the best place people can follow you and keep track of all you do?
Yeah, so our website is breadbeckers.com, www.breadbeckers.com. We're in Woodstock, Georgia. We have co-ops all over. Nicole will tell you about that, because I think you started all this in Texas now. And they can also follow me. I have a podcast now called Sue's Healthy Minutes. They can hear a lot of great information and testimonies. But awesome. And then we have a YouTube channel. Watch great videos, cooking classes. Go online, subscribe to our email newsletter. Even if you're not local, we do live stream some of our cooking classes. And some of you guys have come out to a cooking class, flown out for the weekend or something. So we're awesome. Here to help you on this journey. It can be daunting and overwhelming at times, but it is really, really, really easy. And we come alongside you and show you how you can do it and what you need. We sell every kind of grain or bean you can imagine, and you can buy it in bulk or small quantity. And we sell the equipment, grain mills and mixers and bread machines to make it a doable lifestyle change. And like you said, there's no price tag you can put on it, yeah. You know, and like you said, in the quality of life and just what's happened. And the thing I think that's so important to remember is when they sifted the bran and germ away and we lost 35, 40 nutrients that they knew of, and like you said, who knows how many phytochemicals, they only put 4 back in originally, 3 B vitamins and iron, supposedly took care of beriberi and pellagra, but those are all nervous disorders, skin problems, digestive problems. Have we really helped?
Yep.
Then 50 years later, after watching the rising incidence of birth defects, they went, maybe we better put the folic acid back in. Mm-hmm. So that's there. Never vitamin E, never the fiber, never any of that.
Yeah.
So enriched is a deceptive term there. That's just not what you think it is. And I think bread started it, but now it's the milk, the orange juice, the everything.
Yeah.
And it's just a slippery slope. And America's health began to decline drastically in 1900, about to 1900, 1910, somewhere in there, because white bread and white flour became food for everybody at that time when it began to be mass produced like that. And we've just been on a slippery downhill slope ever since. Yet, you know, when Jesus compared himself to bread and he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God, he was basically reiterating that physically you could live off of grains and beans, and most of the world does.
Yeah.
That's why it's so intriguing to me that grains are getting such a bad rap in America, and saying, oh, that's what's making us sick and that's what's making us fat. Most of the world lives off of that.
Yeah.
And it should be the mainstay of our diet.
Yep. So. That's right. And the book, the good book, the Bible, God's Word, should be the mainstay of what guides us. So when we get back from the break, we'll continue with Sue Becker. Y'all go to Sue's website, breadbeckers.com. And I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. This show will be archived at our website, veritasmedical.com, and also on iTunes under You're the Cure. We will be right back. Stick with us.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on KRFE AM 580 95.9 FM. Of course, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, VeritasMedical.com. Check it out for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. We do all of that at VeritasMedical.com.
Thank you, Wade. We're jumping right back in it with Sue Becker. BreadBeckers.com is a website. A little shout out to Dalhart, Childress, Abilene, Fort Worth, all these different Texas folks who have established co-ops through Sue Becker's co-op. And one right here in Lubbock, Nicole, going to tell us a little bit about that. And then we're going to talk about gluten, gluten-free, all that junk. No, I'm sorry, not junk. We just need some knowledge there, some deception going on, some lack of knowledge. But Nicole, tell us about this co-op. How's that work? And Sue, feel free to jump in too.
So we have a co-op local. It actually delivers in Post, Texas, just because we've had trouble kind of finding a place to house the wheat. It's kind of a funny story. When I started the co-op, they have a minimum requirement of 1,000 pounds each order. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, are we going to be able to order 1,000 pounds every quarter? Who could order? And it's laughable because we've had a 21,000-pound order and nothing below 5,000 pounds. So we have a huge co-op. It kind of decommissions my garage, or now it's going to be my parents' garage. I know when we first bought the Merck building, we got 11 pallets that time. It took up the whole Merck. So you can register for our co-op at breadbeckerscoop.com. No dash in the co-op, but you'll be able to find the co-op closest to you. If you're local to Lubbock, the Post one's probably going to be the closest one. We get deliveries. We'll be getting a delivery soon here in September. And the next one you'll order in December, and we'll get that order in January. But you basically just need to register with the co-op. When it opens, you'll get a notification. You can go on and add what you want to your cart, and then you'll get instructions on paying. It'll ship to me about 4 weeks later. I will sort through that order, get it placed into individual orders, and then you will come pick it up there in Post. So it's relative. We've been doing that, I guess, since 2022, and there's just a lot of people that order. It's been a very successful thing. When I first heard Sue on the radio, she mentioned warts, which I think she's going to talk about here in just a little while, a couple of times on that show, and my oldest son had warts, and I just thought, well, I'm going to try this. So before the end of the show, I was ordering everything, and I think I paid $300 in shipping just because I was like, I'm getting this wheat. And that's what kind of prompted me to be able to start the co-op, was I couldn't afford to pay $300 shipping every time. And that's really the beauty of the co-op, is it comes to us on an 18-wheeler, so we get a much better shipping rate than if you order individually and have to ship through UPS or whatever. So join our co-op.
Yeah, and I'll add, it's free. There's no cost to join the co-op. You don't have to order every time, and there's no minimums for you personally. Mm-hmm. So you can, all you need is one little thing. And our grain is sold in 6-gallon food-grade buckets, carbon dioxide package. So you don't have to put your grain in the freezer.
The cleanest grain you can find.
That's what... Yes, it is very clean, guaranteed to be bug-free, but the buckets really protect the grain from moisture, bug infestation, rodents, you know, those are the pests of grain storage. So that's why we really recommend the buckets, and we package it, like I said, with the carbon dioxide gas. So that's a great thing. And I do want to say the machines ship free. So if you can't wait, like Nicole, and you want a mill already and a mixer or a bread machine, you can go on our website, and those ship free. It's the weight of the grain that makes the shipping, like UPS or whatever, so costly. So having a bulk order going on what's called an LTL, less than a truckload freight line, is just the way to go. And that's why we started it. Yeah.
And for those that are wondering, off air, way to ask kind of what would it start, what kind of investment to kind of get started all in, you know, bread machine, mill, all the ingredients. You got to have, you know, a few different things besides just the yeast, or excuse me, just the wheat. So roughly around 500, give or take. I mean, so it's not huge, but it's not just super cheap, but the, like we said earlier, priceless. You cannot, the return on investment is out of this world. Real quick, Sue, I mentioned Childress, Abilene, Dalhart, Fort Worth. How, if there's listeners out there that maybe want to start a co-op, because those were all started after the show, right?
Yeah.
Here in Texas?
Yes.
Yeah. So for listeners maybe not near any of those places, how would you start a co-op?
I would email support@breadbeckers.com, and it'll get into the right hands of my husband, Brad, and my partner, Jim. That's their kind of expertise, and, you know, and just if the interest is there for the you know, the order volume to be up, it'd be great.
Dalhart's not a real big town, so
they're going gangbusters.
That's awesome. And you had mentioned it, the young lady up there kind of in charge of that, her husband gluten free
for
20
years and can eat the bread.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Let's do, because that
real quick,
just
is
my
Brad Beckers, will you spell that?
Bread, B-R-E-A-D, Beckers, B-E-C-K-E-R-S.com.
Thank you.
So bread, like bread.
Somebody
you eat?
Texted and said Bakers. And I was no, I think it's
Becker. It's funny. Okay, so our last name is Becker.
Becker.
Okay. And when I first started, I would take bread everywhere. And a real good friend of mine came up to my husband one day and said, "You might be Brad Becker, but she is Mrs. Bread Becker." So then, in 1992, when we started our business and we were tossing around names, I'm like, "Well, I think Brad Beckers," you know. Yeah. And it's funny, people thought that was my children's last name. They would call my son Josh Brad Becker and David Brad, and he was like, "It's just Becker. It's just Becker." But so Brad Beckers, like my last name with an S on the end. And interestingly enough, my husband's family is from Germany for generations, you know, whatever. Becker is baker in German. But it's more specifically the man that the one that kept the communal oven clean and hot, ready to bake your bread. Because not homes, I mean, you're not going to fire up that much firewood to bake a loaf of bread. So they had communal ovens that you would take your bread down there. So the Becker was the apprentice baker that kept those ovens hot and ready for you. Yeah,
that's really
so
cool.
So bread Beckers with an S .com. Yeah,
had your community.
@breadbeckers.com. Yeah.
Community mill, community oven.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
But the gluten,
all right, we
lady in Dalhart, her husband's gluten-free for years.
Was gluten-free for years and can now eat the bread, and he has seen tremendous health benefits and even helped some of his anxiety and depression, and she's like attributing it to the bread. And this is what we've been hearing so much of the last few years.
So let's shine some light of truth on the whole gluten thing. Educate the audience a little there.
Yes, that's important. Gluten is not even in grains. Gluten is formed in grains. Wheat is a very unique family of grains. The wheat family, I'm talking wheat, rye, barley, spelt, kamut, that's the wheat family. Since the beginning of time, they have had, the wheat family has unique proteins in the white flour part, the endosperm part, that when you hydrate wheat flour, it forms this stretchy substance called gluten. The proteins that form this gluten, like I said, are unique to the wheat family. It's gliadin and glutenin. They form this stretchy substance called gluten. Why is that important? Why is it in the wheat family? When yeast, if you're doing a yeast leavened bread, whether it's ancient sourdough, modern sourdough, whatever, or modern yeast, the yeast organisms, when they break down the carbohydrates, they produce carbon dioxide gas. So it's those stretchy strands of protein that trap that carbon dioxide gas and allow that leavened bread to rise. And that is why wheat has been the king of bread making, leavened bread, since the beginning of time. You don't make yeast bread out of corn or rice or buckwheat or millet, those now they do because they have to manipulate it and add all this starch and xanthan gum and stuff that's not natural. God made it from the beginning, and all gluten is protein.
Mm-hmm.
Protein. So where does that leave us? So what is the problem with that? When they strip the bran and germ away, all the vitamins, all the minerals, all the enzymes, all the fiber, and leave you with protein and starch, what you're eating is pure protein and starch. And then, to make it worse, you can take wheat and you can wash it, and you just keep washing it, stirring it, the whole grain. And eventually, everything disintegrates, but this stretchy protein, it can stretch it. They'll dry it, powder it, and that's called vital wheat gluten. It's pure gluten-forming proteins. They add that even extra to white bread that's already protein and starch. Someone in Dalhart, as a joke to me, brought me this loaf of white bread. And I read the label. I hadn't read a white bread label in years. And it had enriched white flour, but like the fourth ingredient was even more gluten. I'm like, my goodness, how much more do you need? You know, it makes fluffy bread.
Yeah.
And if you read the label of that 100% whole grain bread, it has to start with whole grain flour, which commercially processed is not necessarily the same. But then they add extra gluten to that. That just messed up the fiber to flour ratio of even what's called this whole grain bread. So that's the problem. And when you eat bread that's devoid of the bran and germ, you're eating pure protein and starch, and what's happening now is you can't digest it, you're constipated, it lays down the villi in your colon, you have stomach pains, you have stomach issues, you have headaches, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same symptoms as genetic celiac disease.
Mm-hmm.
But celiac disease is genetic. You're born with it. You're usually diagnosed by the time you're 7 to 10 years old. Before they really recognized it, you were the sickly child. You were the one with the stomach ache. You were the one anemic because when those villi get laid down, it inhibits your transfer of nutrients. So what's happening now is everyone has these same symptoms, but celiac disease, true genetic celiac disease, affects less than 1% Americans. And so what is happening now? First of all, I read a statistic, 60% of Americans have self-diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How? Because they go off the bread in the store and they feel better.
Yeah.
You know what? Amen. That's what I've been preaching for lots of years. Don't eat the bread in the store. But they're blaming the bread. They're blaming it on gluten when that's not the issue. God never intended us to eat it without the bran and germ. And I can't tell you how many hundreds of people, you know, can change and eat this freshly milled bread and have no issues at all.
Yeah.
Go on my podcast. I think it's episode 68. Listen to Sarah Valentine's story. 10 years she was gluten-free and had struggled all through high school and growing up years. And she was one, she even said, I thought this was normal to feel this bad. I didn't know nobody else felt as bad as me. And she was actually diagnosed with celiac disease. She said, I never did the test because I didn't want to go back to eating gluten. You know, and they call it eating gluten. So she went very strict, gluten-free. She said, I would never cheat on the gluten. But she said, and I also had problems with dairy. I couldn't eat dairy. And her mother and her brother heard about us. And I just did a podcast of her brother's testimony. It's pretty amazing.
Mm.
She came home from college. She was in dental school. She sat there and her mother had made bread and they were loving it. Had helped his children, you know, anything. They had their own testimony. And they kept saying, Sarah, try this bread. Sarah, try this. And she was terrified because she said, I never cheated because it would debilitate me with the gluten. She said, finally, I tried it. no stomach issues, no pain, slept the best I've ever felt, slept in years. And 10 years she had been gluten-free. And she goes, woke up the next morning, pooped the best I've ever pooped. Because that's the other thing. People don't realize the gluten-free stuff you're buying in the store is full of starch, full of sugars, constipating, just, ugh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So she is a walking testimony. She's been eating it. She says, she said, can I tolerate it? I feel the best I've felt in years. So it has restored her health. And she said, and the funny thing is, I can actually eat dairy now, and it doesn't bother me at all. She said, I don't know if God supernaturally healed me or if just changing to this bread. Mm-hmm. I do want to reiterate, if you are a true genetic celiac disease, you know, true genetic celiac, you won't be able to eat wheat ever, freshly milled or not. But most people are not. Mm-hmm. And I spoke at Calvary Chapel in Chattanooga a few weeks ago. And prior to me going on to speak, they had me come as their speaker for this women's brunch. And prior, I was sitting in the green room and the praise and worship team was there. And first thing, they told me who I was. They told them who I was and what I was going to talk on. She goes, oh, I'm a serious celiac. And I asked her some questions and I said, chances are, you know, when were you diagnosed? 20, you know, whatever. Chances are you're not true genetic celiac. And so afterwards, after she heard me speak and teach, and it's very compelling because it's biblically sound, scientifically sound. You can't argue when I start drawing the colon and show you how things are supposed to move. And so the pastor's wife and I prayed for her, and she said these words to me, and I thought about it driving over. They have just gripped my heart since then. She said, I have been praying since January for food freedom. Americans are not free, and now we're bound, thinking we can't eat this, we can't eat that, we can't eat this.
Yep.
You know, this Bible tells us not to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink. And one day I was like, Lord, is that me? Because I get raw milk from here and I go to the farmer's market to get. And he was like, no, it's all those that go, I can't eat fat. I can't eat. How many carbs does this have? How many sugars? How much fat? How much this? How much that? Reading labels. And I read labels of things. But do you realize when we have to read labels, it's a processed food. There are no food labels on the perimeter of the grocery store. Yep. There's not any food labels on fresh fruits and vegetables and real food.
Yep.
But anyway, we prayed for this girl, and something happened in our prayer, and we all three acknowledged it. But she told me, you know, even in that, she goes, you know, I can't just, you know, if they put a crouton on my salad, I can't just send the salad back to, you know, I can't just take the crouton off and eat it. I have to send it back. That's how serious it is. So we prayed, and I had made bread in a little demo, and they sent it home with her because she wanted to try it. And she said, it took me some time. And she emailed me on Monday or Tuesday after the conference on Saturday. And she said, when I tell you how fearful I was to try this, I need to explain something to you. She said, I once got a hold of some gluten, you know, and she said, it sent me to the hospital. She said, I ended up in the ER. They gave me medicine to combat the symptoms. That sent me into cardiac arrest. She said, I'm talking serious. She said, so when I went to try this bread, I had 5 people on call that if I ended up in an emergency situation. And she said, I have been eating this bread and I feel great.
Wow. Praise
and,
God.
And that just, I'm about to tear up just thinking food freedom.
Yeah.
We're all bound.
Yeah.
You know, and years ago, the Lord gave me a scripture. I had had the opportunity to share the gospel one time, and I haven't had that opportunity a lot in my life. In fact, I always said, I've been a Christian since as long as I can remember, and I've never really led someone to the Lord, but I shared at a women's homeless shelter, just something the Lord had put on my heart, and 7 women raised their hand to receive Jesus, and I was like, yes, I want to do this forever. Can we come back tomorrow? I'll hand out tracts on the street corner. And 2 days later, I was going to speak at a women's Bible study, what I call my poopy talk, you know, on constipation. And I cried out to God. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Surely constipation is not that important in the scheme of things here. I just want to go get people saved and share the gospel. And My verse for the day in my Bible reading that morning, one of the things, it was Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He's anointed and equipped mm-hmm. me and qualified me mm-hmm. to preach the gospel. So I was like, yes, yes, yes. But as I, you know, and to heal the broken, to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. But the rest of that verse, the next verse says, and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Mm. And in parentheses in my Amplified Bible, it says physical and spiritual. Mm-hmm. And when I read the word physical, God said, that's the message I've put on your, mm-hmm. given you to speak today. You're Amen. Going to speak to my people that are physical captives. And that lady's words, food freedom, mm-hmm. has just resonated with me.
Yeah.
Just down to my very core, that I am seeing more and more Americans, not just physical captives to sickness and disease, which what I thought, but physical captives to food. Mm-hmm. I can't eat this. I can't eat that. I can't eat this. And Jesus compared himself to bread. Mm-hmm. And one of the things the Lord showed me recently, too, that I find so sad, and I have a quote I can read in a minute if we have time. I don't know how our time is. But
we're probably wrapping up here in a minute or two.
So, you know, I thought about this. I've never, in all my years of studying, and you're probably running into this as well, I've never seen conventional medicine and more natural, holistic medicine agree.
Mm.
But they are now. Everybody's saying wheat is bad, wheat is bad. Doesn't matter who you go to, wheat is bad, wheat is bad. And this is a popular doctor. I'll read this quote and listen to the logic here. Mm. So, you would know him if I said his name. But anyway, it says, damage to the gastrointestinal tract from an overuse of antibiotics, anti-inflammatory drugs like Advil and Aleve, and most people don't know that that mm-hmm. causes bleeding bowel mm-hmm. situations, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep.
Acid-blocking drugs, mm. that's the other thing you'll hear me touch on tonight.
Mm.
Proteins, which, what is gluten? Is proteins are digested in your stomach. Because protein digestive enzymes have to have acid. What are we taking? Acid blocking drugs. So they're in, you know, okay, so let me finish. I won't interrupt this time. Damage to the gastrointestinal tract from the overuse of antibiotics, anti-inflammatory drugs like Advil or Aleve, and acid blocking drugs like Prilosec or Nexium, combined with our low fiber, high sugar diet, listen to this, leads to the development of celiac disease and gluten intolerances, and sensitivity, and resultant inflammation. Did you hear what all he said causes this?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Wholeheartedly agree. Listen to his next sentence.
So let's not eat bread. No.
The biggest problem is wheat. That is why the elimination of gluten and food allergens can be a powerful way to prevent and reverse this disease. I did not hear wheat or gluten, or any of that in his list of things that cause that.
Yeah.
I agree eliminating may eliminate the symptoms, but we've got to get away from symptom treatment.
Amen.
And God showed me this little analogy, and I think it'll make sense to you. They are not differentiating between the junk that's in the store. You called it junk. The stuff, Brad calls it the Antichrist, in the store. My husband is maybe even more passionate than I am. They're not differentiating with the stuff that's in the store and wheat,
mm-hmm.
real whole grain wheat.
Yep.
That stuff is made from wheat, but it's not wheat.
Yep.
And so they're saying wheat is inflammatory and wheat is this and wheat is that and wheat is the biggest problem. Jesus compared himself even to wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And what God showed me is I was sitting reading a book one day and I'm like, you know, this paper is made out of trees and wood.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never go, this is a tree.
Mm-hmm.
This is wood. No, it's paper.
Yep.
It's not a tree. There's a huge difference.
Yep.
And therein lies the problem. And we've got to have logical sense to realize, you just told me all the things that cause all these symptoms and celiac and sensitivities and food intolerances. Why don't we feed our body the thing that can restore our health,
mm-hmm.
boost our immune system so fast that a virus known to cause warts can make someone's child with over 500 warts that she's had for 5 years, tried all kinds of medication, go away in 2.5 weeks, and all they changed was the bread.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's powerful.
So it eliminates the use of antibiotics, the heavy use. Yep. There's a time and place.
Yep.
It eliminates the use of Advil and Aleve. I didn't mention that. My headaches went away. First month, I used to have migraines. I don't know when the last time I had a headache or taken Advil and Aleve. I buy my little token bottle in case I ever need it. Mm-hmm. It expires. I don't even know where it is in my house. Didn't bring it when I travel. Used to. I'd never leave home without it. Mm-hmm. Haven't ever needed Advil and Aleve. I mean, Prilosec or Nexium. And my diet is now low sugar, high fiber, and my gut is healed.
Amen.
And yours can be too.
Real bread.
Wow.
That's awesome, Sue. Obviously, you're anointed to speak the truth on this matter, and I'm glad you are doing that, and your husband and your family and your company and all y'all are doing.
We love what we do.
Well, it shows, and I highly recommend y'all go to Sue's website, breadbeckers.com. Get on the co-op. If you don't have a co-op in your area, email them, get signed up. Be a good steward of the temple,
your body. Yeah, listen to the podcast. We've got over 80 episodes.
It is so hard to find truth out on the internet these days. So when you do find a nugget and someone anointed by the Lord to speak truth in an area, go subscribe and make it your favorite and listen to it. We need the truth to set us free. Sue, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It's such a blessing for our community that all you, and please, thanks to your husband too, and everybody else back home. They're making a real impact on a lot of people out here.
I'll be in Childress tomorrow night and Abilene Thursday night. I think they can find that on our website where I'll be, or our Facebook page. We also have Facebook and Instagram, Brad Beckers.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Another great show. We'll be back next week with another one. So veritasmedical.com, you can find it archived there, and we'll see y'all tonight at the Merck. Wade, thank you for the airwaves.
And you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archived shows.